We'll jump right into five indicators for a healthy soul care ministry. If you remembered yesterday, I mentioned sort of this strong emphasis of the organization I'm now part of, and we believe in healthy pastors and leaders building and equipping strong churches that multiply around the world together. And so I want to talk to you about healthy today. In over 20 years of leading soul care ministry in different churches around the country, teaching and training around the world, I think that I've been able to distill some pretty key indicators of thriving and health in terms of the body life and the soul care ministry of the church. So I want to share those with you. So here they are, and they won't be a surprise to this group, okay? I don't think any of you would be shocked by these, but you may think, is there one or two of these that maybe were as a church or what I'm doing aren't as true as the others? But the first one is biblical authority and sufficiency. And believe me, different people mean different things when they say those things. If you think that biblical sufficiency is a clear and cohesive conversation about what that means, even among biblical counseling, you're wrong. So you need to be thinking, is the Bible really authoritative? And what does that really mean? And then is it sufficient? And what is it sufficient for? And how do you describe sufficiency in a way that doesn't make people think you're stupid, or that you're ignorant, or that you mean absolutely comprehensive over all things, when in fact that's not even what the scripture says. It's talking about sufficiency for life and godliness. It's not talking about sufficiency for medical issues. It's not talking about sufficiency for things that God gives us common grace for. Let's talk about sufficiency in the sense of, if you want to understand how to live life in a way that pleases God, glorifies God, and grows you more like Christ, the Bible is your place to go. And it's sufficient for all things related to the heart. It's sufficient for all things related to the soul. And that's what we're all about. So for us, when we say sufficient, it's our go-to authority. It's our go-to for all things related to biblical counseling. And we believe it is the counseling manual for the human condition. So top-down buy-in. Now, you can maybe start a counseling ministry in your church, try to plant a seed, but it's not going to flourish if you don't have senior leaders buying into the vision of soul care. I'll explain all of these more. I'll unpack all of these in a minute. Counseling to equip. Years ago, I decided I'm not going to counsel anymore. I only am going to counsel to equip. So I'm going to equip the person being counseled, I'm going to equip the advocates in there, and I'm going to equip the apprentices watching at the same time. I'm always equipping when I'm counseling. I can't just afford to counsel anymore. And it can't even be my mindset. Purposeful disciple-making strategy. How many of your churches not only like to make disciples, but they have a plan, a pathway, and a process that is really clear and moves people down the road of maturity? And then finally, seamless continuum of equipping and care. This idea that we have layers of relational and leadership direction that allow people to know where they can fit in, where they can get help, and what the next level of help is. And everybody is supervising the level below them. For instance, I don't train counselors anymore to be counselors. I train them to be coaches, consultants, and counselors. So they're consulting and coaching small group leaders coaches, ministry leaders, youth leaders all the time. So I try to train my counselors. By the time you get to the level that you're counseling formally, you have to see yourself as a lead disciple maker. And that's new to a lot of people. They're like, hey man, I'm just in it. I just want to sit across the desk and counsel. I'm not, yeah, you're not going to counsel with me then. Or you can maybe have one case when we really are having an overflow. But our general attitude is, if you're at that level of training and equipping, you're equipping others. So it must be biblical. It must be authoritative and all of that as we describe, but even transforming in the way that you go about it. So remember that psychology can be descriptive, but it's not prescriptive. Well, in the same way, the Bible is prescriptive. And I think of 2 Timothy 3, I love this passage where it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. This idea of profitable, I don't think psychology is profitable for the soul. But I know scripture is. Profitable for what? Teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Again, what are we going after? Righteousness. What are we going after? Christ-likeness. So, of course, secular counseling couldn't be helpful there, right? It doesn't transform hearts and lives. It doesn't increase our righteousness. And it doesn't help us to learn how to please God. So while it's interesting, intriguing, and descriptive, and there might even be some things we learn from the research, it's not prescriptive and it's not profitable for the believer to equip them for every good work, to mature them. It says that the man of God may be complete, another word for complete, mature, equipped for every good work. So this idea, it must be biblical. Our counsel, our soul care ministry must be rooted in Scripture. We must teach all of our people what it means to submit to the authority of the Scriptures and to see the sufficiency of the Scriptures as part of their worldview. And then it needs to be transforming. And I love this idea that we're not conformed to the world. Remember that Romans 12, 1 and 2? Most of us have memorized that. But we're transformed by the renewal of the mind. Where does our mind get renewed? Scripture. Where else are you going to get your mind renewed? But in the Word of God. The Word of God renews the mind. And if you're using the Word of God and you're going after the heart, you're doing transformational care. And you don't have to be a formal biblical counselor to do that. What I believe is we need to create a transforming culture in our church. Then we need to create transforming community through things like small groups. And then we create transforming counseling that goes on when somebody really needs more than just everyday discipleship. The third thing on this is our goal is godliness, and we believe the Bible is the answer. The Bible has everything we need to help us grow in godliness. And you can see that in 2 Peter 3. Here's another really favorite place in Scripture for me, so that, because honestly, if you're going to press this down into the body life of your church, then people have to realize that their competence doesn't come from degrees or experience or how smart they are. The competence comes from God. And 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6 is one of my favorite places to take people to who are like, I don't know if I can do this, or I think I'm here as God's gift to the church as a counselor. Well, wait a second. Both of you are wrong. Yes, you can do this because it's not just you, and you scare me, and you need to understand, I don't care. I have a doctorate, okay? I have 30-some years experience in counseling, and I'm an idiot. So, you know, if you think that you, without Jesus, without God's word, I'm just going to get you in more trouble. I get myself in trouble